Let's continue in prayer with a prayer for illumination. Lord God, we give you great thanks. We give you thanks for these opportunities to be together as your church, and we thank you for your word to us in Scripture. As we turn to your word now, we pray that you would bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, and that by them and through them we might understand you more fully and understand the calling that you have put on our lives. All of these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for today comes from the book of Acts. Listen for God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all in one place, then suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven residing in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them, the disciples, speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. When Jesus left his disciples, he gave them some pretty clear and direct instructions. The disciples were commanded to go out and to make disciples of all nations. They were to do this through baptizing and teaching. Jesus told them that they, the disciples, would be his witnesses, and then he gave them three locations to think about. He said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then further out in Judea and Samaria, and then further still to the ends of the earth." Now, these commands were relatively straightforward. Jesus had a vision for his disciples. They would start in close, in Jerusalem, in the city where they were living. But then they would move out further and further until they had carried Jesus' message about God's love and forgiveness, about reconciliation, about community, about how to live together in kindness and generosity. They would carry Jesus' message and his way until they had touched the lives of people throughout all the world. Now, we as Christian people, living as we do here in the 21st century, we understand ourselves to be those who continue to carry out these same instructions that Jesus gave to his first disciples. We understand that we are called, just as they were called, to participate in Jesus' mission to the people of all the world. But my suspicion is that very few of us feel like we are called to be the kind of people who go to the ends of the earth. Typically, we assign that work to very specialized servants in the church who we call, or sometimes we call, foreign missionaries. They are people who go to special schools to train and study to become foreign missionaries. And they are people who we recognize have very specialized skills and spiritual gifts. So I'm wondering, by a show of hands, how many of you feel like you are called to follow those instructions that Jesus gave, that you are to go to the ends of the earth to share the good news? How many of you feel called to do that? Come on. No one. No one. And you know what? I'm not surprised. Part of the reason why you're here in the Blauenberg Reformed Church on a Sunday morning is because you're not those specialized people who are called to go to the ends of the earth. But now I'm wondering about the first part. What about the first part of Jesus' instructions and his commandments to his disciples? What about the first part of those instructions that said that the disciples would share about Jesus' love and his way with the people who were close at hand, the people who lived right around the corner from the disciples? What about the part of Jesus' instructions that made it clear that the disciples were to share about their faith and their beliefs and their understanding about God and the church and their knowledge of forgiveness and reconciliation, not with the people who were on the other side of the planet, but just with the people who lived nearby? What about Jesus' instructions to reach our neighbors? People who were living or are living in the very city and in the same locale where we are already living. I look up and everyone's looking at the floor. By a show of hands, how many of us right now feel like we are usually eager and excited and the kind of people who are ready to talk about God and to bring up Jesus in conversation and to talk about church and religion and faith and beliefs in the conversations we have with our friends and our neighbors, our coworkers, people we go to school with, and the people who live in the communities in which we live? By a show of hands, how many of you feel eager and excited about that? Hey, that's great. I have a few people. That's wonderful. Forget about places like Zimbabwe or Singapore or Kyrgyzstan. It is often very challenging for us to share our faith, to talk about God with people who are nearby. Some of you may be excited and feel called and ready and able to do that. But my suspicion is that while that many of us don't feel that way, we don't feel ready or qualified to share about our faith with people, whether they're on the other side of the planet or whether they live close by. And I suspect that the disciples felt that same way when Jesus first gave them these instructions to reach people both close at home and far away. The reason for this is that the disciples didn't have any of the qualifications that we normally would associate with the kinds of people who should be public speakers for the kingdom. Most of the disciples, especially the most important ones, who we hear about the most, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, they were from the backwoods area called Galilee, and they didn't have any formal training in public speaking, okay? Peter, James, and John, and a lot of the disciples were Galileans, and Galileans had heavy accents that made them hard to understand. Okay. As I was reading about this passage in a commentary, it's amazing. There is literally a joke. There is a joke from around Jesus' time from Jerusalem about how hard it is to understand people from Galilee. Okay. Galileans were known for having heavy accents that made them hard to understand. The joke was about how a Galilean came to Jerusalem, okay? Just like the disciples, Galileans in Jerusalem. And the Galilean went to a marketplace to order an amar. An amar, an Aramaic word, amar. Okay? So he goes and he orders an amar from the vendor. And the vendor has no idea what this Galilean is asking for, because his accent is so heavy. So the joke goes that the vendor says, "You stupid Galilean, what are you asking for? Do you want something to ride on? An hamar, which means donkey? Or are you asking for something to drink? An hamar, which means wine? Or do you want something to wear as clothing? An hamar, which means wool? Or do you want something to sacrifice? An imar, which means lamb." Okay? People would tell that we have this joke. Someone wrote this joke down around Jesus' time because it was a common thing to pick on Galileans for their accents. That when a Galilean came all the way down to the big city of Jerusalem, they didn't talk so good, you know? They had an accent, and people couldn't really understand what they were trying to say. That's a joke that we have that doesn't exist in Scripture, but we also know from the Gospel of Matthew that the disciples had heavy accents. Okay? When Jesus is arrested, Peter follows him to where his arresters have taken him. And Peter's standing around the fire as Jesus is on trial. And he's talking with the people there. And a woman recognizes his accent and says, "You must be one of Jesus' followers. Your accent betrays you." Okay? The disciples had heavy accents. So when Jesus commanded them and said, "You are going to share about me, you are going to be my public speakers, you are going to be the people who go out into the world and tell people about me," when they heard the part about going to the ends of the earth, I'm sure the disciples thought, "That can't be me. I'm not the kind of person who would go to the ends of the earth to talk about Jesus." But when Jesus said, "You will also share about me in Jerusalem," the disciples probably also said, "I can't share about you in Jerusalem. If I open my mouth in Jerusalem, not only is it likely that people won't understand, but it'll be embarrassing. They'll probably mock me." You know that joke about the Galilean in the marketplace. The disciples didn't feel qualified. They didn't feel qualified. Their situation made them feel like they could not do what Jesus had asked them to do. There was no way on earth that they could share about Jesus, let alone to someone on the other end of the planet or someone right there close by in the city of Jerusalem. Well, the good news in the story is that God makes a way possible for the disciples, even the disciples with their heavy Galilean accents. God makes a way possible for them to share that good news. This is the nature of the God that we know and we love. God cares about getting this message out. God wants people to know that God is a God of love, that God is a God who is interested in people, that God is a God who wants to forgive people their sins and incorporate them into the life of the church and into the things that God is doing in this world. God wants people to know that God cares about them. And so it doesn't matter how thick or heavy the accent is or what hang-ups Jesus' disciples may have had, God is going to use them. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, God makes it possible for God to use even those country bumpkin disciples from Galilee. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are able to get their message out to all of those diverse Jewish people living in the city of Jerusalem. It's an amazing story. You have Jews living from all over the known world. And these Jews would have spoken many languages. They would have spoken Aramaic, which was their native religious language, right? They would have spoken Greek and Latin. Those were the languages of the empire, of the Roman Empire, right? And these were cosmopolitan Jews. They were people who had moved from one country and come and lived in Jerusalem. They would have had to have needed to speak some good Greek and Latin. And these people also would have spoken their native language, the language from the country in which they had come from. So they would have been fluent in probably four different languages. The disciples probably only knew Aramaic with their heavy Galilean accents, right? They would have known Aramaic, and they would have known just enough Greek to get by, okay? The Holy Spirit, does it take the corners off their Aramaic so that they can speak to these other Jewish people in their native Aramaic language? No. Does the Holy Spirit give them Greek or Latin so that they can reach people within the empire? No. It makes it so that their words come across in the native language of each. Probably the thing that the disciples were least likely to expect. Okay. But the point is that God needed that message to get out, and so God made it possible for that message to get out. We might hear Jesus' instructions, and we might worry if we are capable of being the kind of people who share about church and about their faith. I know it makes me uncomfortable, and I'm a pastor, okay? When Jamie and I go out to a bar or a restaurant, or if we're out in Philadelphia with friends, or if we're visiting my brother and sister-in-law, and my brother Kevin introduces me to people, he loves letting people know that I'm a minister, right? He'll say, "This is my brother. He's a Protestant minister." You know, he thinks it's hilarious. And I'm always nervous. I'm always wondering, how is this going to go? How is this going to go? And I will tell you that more times than not, people are fascinated to know that I'm part of a church. And they want to tell me about their experiences growing up in church. They want to ask me questions about my tradition, about what we do, right? And there are other times where I'm out in the world and people have no idea that I'm a minister. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me, "Go ahead, talk to that person. Let them know you're a Christian. Let them know you believe in God." And I'm constantly saying, "I don't know, Holy Spirit. That sounds hard. That might be embarrassing, right? They might not understand. They might not get it. They might turn away. They might be mean to me." And that does happen every once in a while, okay? I talked to a parent one time of one of the preschool. I shouldn't even say that much. But anyway, I talked to someone one time. And I was like, "I'm the pastor at the church." And that was the end of the conversation, right? That was it. And you know what? I survived. And it's okay, right? So, the point is this, is that God wants to get that message out, right? And God can use each and every one of us. And we don't have to do it on our own, okay? It matters so much to God that God sends us the Holy Spirit to help us overcome those things that might be barriers between us and the people whom God wants to reach. So if you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you and urging you to talk a little bit about God or Jesus or about church with a friend or a neighbor or someone at school or someone at work, give it a try, okay? Give it a try. See how it goes. See how it goes. What Scripture tells us, what Scripture implores us to believe, is that the Spirit will give us what we need in order to help us get that message across. The same message that brought us here to this place and helped make us a part of this faith community. Thanks be to God. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.